Blog Talk Radio.
You are in the bullpen with Dr. T, hosted by Dr. Marvin Thompson, an empowering educator featured on CNN, PBS, CBS Morning Show, and the Oprah Winfrey Network. In the Bullpen with Dr. T covers the relevant issues of the day affecting our schools, families, and communities. Here's your host, Dr. T.
Well, I'm going to start calling this Business Wednesday. We have back with us, you guys will be two familiar voices, Gerald Dubose and Art Jones. And as you all recall, they are members of Collaborative Authority. And as we've talked about on this show, this is what, our third show. And we really bring these experts on to help listeners who are either current business professionals or those entrepreneurs or independent workers who are looking for strategies and ideas to help strengthen their endeavors. So every 2 weeks, you will have either these two gentlemen or members of Collaborative Authority at your disposal. So I encourage you, as you listen tonight, these two gentlemen who have experience working with Fortune 100 companies and their leaders and their leadership teams on strategies to enhance their business practices. So you cannot get better advice and insight than what you're going to get here for free. So gentlemen, Art, Gerald, welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yes, nice to always be with you brilliant minds. I appreciate you guys, including me.
See, you telling jokes already. It's supposed to be a serious show. Well, gentlemen, as I said earlier, we were talking before the show. We have a gentleman from Canada who's going to be joining us about 15 minutes into our show, a gentleman both of you are familiar with, who's going to talk about his new venture. And it would be great to, one, hear what he has to say and how he is going about it and get your insights into it, some of the strengths and some of the areas of opportunities that you might identify. So that's coming up within the next 15 or 20 minutes. So that's one
great
of the things that's on the slate tonight. The last time you were on, we talked about communications and it was really insightful to me how broad in concept communication is, but really how narrow that focus needs to be effective. And that was one of the great takeaways that I worked with from our last topic. In y'all's work in the last several, since our last visit, are there some topics or issues that you have seen with your clients that have become common? Common needs?
Well, I'll take that first. I mean, I think that, you know, it's always comes up in the conversations with me is, you know, we talked about communications in our last round, and that was the outward communications. And we often think that, you know, I talk about storytelling, and we think about storytelling as a way to call an audience to action, you know, read my blog post, give me your email address so I can market to you, become part of my community, and eventually, God willing, and the creek don't rise, that person that joins the community might buy something or refer somebody else to buy something from my brand. That's what we think of as communications. We think of understanding the stories that we need to tell. And what I find with the clients that I speak with, they're really surprised and shocked and really not quite prepared to understand the narrative of the person they're trying to reach, their ideal customer, because that requires work. That requires somebody to stop and pause and call their current customers up and say, listen, you know, this is who I think you are. You know, you're this age, you have these kinds of challenges, and you celebrate these kinds of opportunities, and this is what your business is all about. Am I spot on, or are there other things that I should know? And that not only takes commitment to go find those answers, but it takes time to do it well. And so, you know, my long answer to a short question is that I find that people are surprised when I challenge them to do that kind of work when it comes to storytelling. And the story is finding out the story of the person in the markets that you serve, what they celebrate, what they agonize over, and what's common among all of them. You know, are they all in the same age bracket? Do they all live in the same region? Are they all, you know, women? Are they men? Are they women that are married or divorced? What's the case? And that's what I'm always surprised about, how unprepared people are, because generally people say, Art, can I just sell to everybody? And I give them a flat no.
Yeah, I could see where that would be a common thought, that when people have a product or a service, that, you know, yeah, I'm going to sell to everybody and everybody's coming, but that market might be very small or very specific. And I wonder sometimes if many people think about that in their planning. I thought that was an excellent point last week. Well, this week, I know Gerald and I spoke, and one of the topics that we broached was proper presentation techniques. Selling, I guess, Gerald, in the context of that, are we talking about selling services and products?
No, the presentation I'm actually talking about is how you show up for your audience, your presentation of yourself and of your company. How do you show up at these networking events? How does your company look when people look for you? What does that look like? You know, because perception is reality. And so as people perceive it, is the value they're going to assess to be the brand called whatever your business is. So I believe it's important for people to start to think about, you know, when they're going into networking events, when they are giving their speeches, or when they get the opportunities to be interviewed, how they represent and represent their brand. Represent, represent, same difference, just a different context on the same word. You know, how are you showing up for people? What do people see when they look for you?
And now, Art, what are some tips that seem to be stalwart, good practices that are just inherent to giving a good presentation? What do you have to have that are just givens?
Well, you have to have a compelling idea that your audience it's going to resonate with your audience. And that goes again back to knowing who your audience is. If you're talking to dentist, you don't go in talking about, you know, how to make a filet mignon, right? You talk about, you know, getting more customers. You talk about how to keep your customers happy when you're talking to dentists, because that's one of the big challenges. Who likes to go to the dentist? So when you're talking to an audience, you have to really communicate with dentists and give them what they want. You know, and most times people, it goes to what Gerald was saying. You know, when we think about presenting ourselves, we get locked and loaded with who we think we are. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes we are more than who we think we are. And we have broader appeal to different audiences, but means that that appeal is generated when we make the effort to understand who we're speaking to, and we can dial in our conversation in such a way that it resonates with that audience. And I think that that's the big idea, is that when you think about who you are going to speak to or who you serve and how many different ideal prospects you have, you know, maybe you sell to dentists and you sell to GYNs and you sell to plastic surgeons. They're all physicians and they're all in the medical field, but each of them has a different interest and a different scope of who they serve in their business. So when you speak to them, you have to speak their language. And that's again about understanding who you are. And if you have something to offer those three audiences, GYNs, plastic surgeons, and dentists, then you tailor your speak. You're taking those elements of your brand that serve them, and you're giving it to them. But that's self-awareness, and you know, there are people that attempt to do that they don't have anything for the plastic surgeon or the dentist or the GYN. That's their hope. They haven't done the work to understand what those folks need, so they're trying to sell them pencils when they really need more eyeballs looking at their website. So, you know, presentation, if there's a theme for all of these things, it's stop, assess how much work has to be done to get you in the position to present well, whether it's yourself, your business, your products, or your online presence. And if you don't know the answers to those questions, go find a coach that does. And then collaborate with them to create the brand that represents you best, so you can sell to those markets that you bring value to.
Well, you know, what you just described is really a lot about preparation. We talked about communication, knowing your audience, and narrowing your market, that target audience. So when you start looking at those preparation pieces in that presentation, is the elevator speech concept still relevant today? Is that 3-minute, what do you do, tell me in an elevator ride, is that still a powerful tool? Or have we moved to a new era where there's more engagement required?
I think that's the elevator pitch is from the last century. You know, technology to take you to the top of the Empire State Building when the elevator pitch was kind of coined. The Empire State Building may have been the tallest building in America, and it may have taken 3 minutes to get there, 2 minutes and 25 seconds, let's say. So that's the time you had to ride to the penthouse with the executive, who's generally, you know, the chief, the very important top officer is usually on the top floors. So that idea of the elevator pitch was, I've got this much time, 2 minutes and 25 seconds or 3 minutes to give my pitch to let them know who I am and the value to them. Well, in 2017, technology is different, and that elevator will take you to the top in 7 seconds, right? I mean, the taller the building, the faster that elevator goes. So I think the shorter answer is the elevator pitch, I think, probably needs a name change. And it ought to be simply called the introduction. And I'm sure Gerald would agree, at least in part, to this idea that if I meet Dr. T for the first time and I'm hell-bent on telling Dr. T all about me, Dr. T's looking around the room to say, who else can I go talk to? I'm really looking for somebody to help me. I'm here to grow my business. So when you start the conversation and say, so tell me about you, Dr. T, what business are you in? And then I say, well, you know, I know Dr. Vibe, this guy in Toronto, Canada, who's got a great initiative that you and he should get together. Then you'll remember me because I put you in touch with another person that has command and control of a nice brand and growing a great business. Thanks. And you know, you never told me what you did. Get an opportunity to tell you all that I have to offer. And so, you know, it goes to seek first to understand how you can be of value to the person you're talking to. And then when the door opens for you to talk about yourself, do it. But wait till the door opens. Wait to be invited or to have permission to do that.
That's pretty powerful. Gerald, we were talking about the elevator speech, and you know, it's amazing. I didn't think about it the way you described it, Art, but you're so right. We went from, you know, a 3-minute ride in an elevator down to 7 seconds, and image is everything. Packaging is everything. Delivery. Some people use wit. Right. But you have seven to 10 seconds to capture someone's attention, and this means or it's gone. And so marketing is way more sophisticated than it used to be. But there's got to be some advantages to having short time frame.
Is the maestro still there? There he is. Go ahead, maestro. Take it away.
I am here. I am definitely here. There are definitely advantages to having a time frame. One of the main advantages to having a time frame is you don't give an audience a chance to get bored, whoever you're talking to. one factor that we all forget is that though we love the sound of our own voice, other people love the same. And it's not a conversation if they don't get to engage with you as well. So as long as you don't make your – intriguing introduction too long. As long as you make it more about not just the company you have, and I didn't catch all of what Brother Art said, and I'm pretty sure that the professor covered some of this. As long as it's not just about what your company name is and what you do, but what makes it so important and why you're on that mission to do that company and that business and how the people are changed afterwards, that's what people want to hear. People hear 5,000 different insurance agents. There are 20,000 website SEO companies and that will do your social media marketing. But not everybody is into the social media marketing because they want to make a change in not only their lives, but their clients' lives. So it's a different approach when you talk about from the heart why you created what you created, because that's what people follow. And we talked about that a little bit on the last broadcast.
Mm-hmm. We did.
Yeah, I just wanted to build on what what Gerald was saying. And the notion of intriguing is probably the key word that I wrote down when Gerald was speaking just now, because when you have that opportunity to speak and your offer of what you do should be intriguing. And Gerald said, you know, there's 50, if you're at a networking event with 100 people, it's very likely there's 25 insurance agents just like you in the room. And when you say, well, I sell insurance, casualty life, and he's heard that before, she's heard that before. But if you might say, and I'll just ad lib, something like, I help my clients sleep better at night. Now, you either have to say, oh, or how do you do that? Or you look around and you go fill your drink and just leave me standing there with my jaw dropped. But generally, when you say something intriguing, you're begging them with that intriguing statement to inquire more. So tell me how you do that. Funny you should ask that question. I sell life insurance and I protect people's and keep them solvent as they move into the future.
Well, we have – thanks for – go ahead, Art.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I think we might have our friend from the north arriving.
Yeah, we have our friend from the north, and he's got a very short time frame. But I did want him on to talk about his new venture because it was so fitting for our topic. So I want to welcome one that everybody here on this panel knows. But for our guest, this is Dr. Vibe. He is a well-renowned broadcaster, podcaster, videocaster. Based in Toronto, Canada. I have learned so much from him in my journey in podcasting, and he kind of is my mentor in this area. Shout out and a warm welcome to my good friend, Dr. Five.
Well, good evening, Dr. T and panelists. How are we all doing this evening?
We're good, brother.
Doing good, Dr. Five.
Hey, man, you shared something with me, and I had to have you on. You get to it. Tell us about this endeavor that you have. You're broadening your current efforts, and it impressed me that one, you had the foresight to do it. But when you described it to me, I just said to myself, "That's smart."
Thank you so much. I'll keep it short and sweet because I don't want to steal the thunder of your epic panelists. As always, for those who do not know me, I'm the host of the award-winning Dr. Vibe Show. It's a totally done online. I've done over 2,000 conversations online over the last 10 years. And one of the things that's important to me, especially when you're doing business or entrepreneurship, is having a good community. And about 3 months ago, one of my mentors in my community came to me and said, Dr. Vibe, I have something that you need to do. And I go, oh, really? So he basically told me that what I should start is a media promotion service. And what it basically is, well, let me solve the pain first. A lot of entrepreneurs and business people want to get media attention so they can catapult their business. Actually, that's my tagline. I help entrepreneurs and businesses like yours grab media attention so they can catapult their business. Because we all know getting media coverage of any type can all, well, 99% of the time helps your brand, service, or product. So I have started a service where I do one or two interviews with the business or the entrepreneur, done via audio. I prep. We go over the things that you want highlighted in the interview or the conversation, I like to call it. We record it. I give the client copies of the conversation so they can do whatever they want. Then what I do is I also put it on my own website, gettingmediacoverage.com, plus I syndicate it to a number of different podcast platforms like Apple Podcasts, Tuned In Radio, iHeartRadio, Stitcher Radio, etc. But then on top of that, what I will do is I will get a press release written for you or your business or your service, and then have that press release released to either to up to 500 different media outlets in America. And then what on top of that, to make sure I back what I say, I actually give you a report of all the media outlets that it's been sent to.
That's fantastic. And it was funny that Art and Gerald, because as he was describing it to me, I actually went through the cycle of questioning that you two have indoctrinated me to in the last 2 months. And it was, who's the target audience? Who would buy this service? Because I was still processing it, and he just rattled it all off, and he actually gave me an example, and it made it so clear, and I went, okay, got it, done. So a lot of the things that you all were talking about, he had already begun to do, and I said, dude, you got to come on and share that, because it was just such a good model of preparation, and including all of the variables and concepts that the two of you described, and Art, you said the shorter the better, capture them. When he started getting to the media outlets and doing this service for you and how many and how frequent, that's when my ears perked up and I went, wow, I would do that.
Well, there you go. Now, yeah, and
it's
for
nice,
me.
It's a nice offer, Dr. Vibe. It's a nice offer. Yeah.
So thank you so much. I appreciate that. And there's, you know, stuff I didn't know along the way. I just did two powerful words. I asked people who knew more than I did. So they have helped me. Yeah, I humbled myself, and I'm a firm believer if someone knows more about something than I do and I need to know about it, I shut up and listen.
Yeah. Well, what do you see as challenges in your next step in growing this?
I think the biggest challenge is me, because I think that's the thing. I think, and also managing time, but also making sure that I have a process, because I think it's very important when you're in business, especially if you're an entrepreneur, that process is so key. So when a potential client asks me, I walk them through what we're going to do. You have a process, step by step by step, because I've seen in many businesses, most of the time, one of the biggest challenges is they don't have a process. And when you don't have a process, that's when everything can go amok. From people you want to hire to everything, process is so key. Process and having a community. And I shared with Dr. T before he came on the show. I said, you know what? I can just share with my own community to start getting clients. And the first person I thought of, both Dr. T and I know, I won't say his name, but he said, yeah, I'd love to do it. Bang. And he has a lot of influence because this gentleman is a sales and marketing executive for a Fortune 10 company. So he has influence. So you've got to know, you know, who you want to share your opportunity with. And a firm believer, have at least 7 characteristics of your target market, because the more you know your target market, the better you can engage. And I'll just throw in another thing there. There's the old 3 words, people got to know, like, and trust you. And I'm sure we've all heard that, but there's 2 other variables I'd like to add is that, yes, people got to know, like, and trust you, but you also got to have what they want. And you got to also know, can they afford it or not? Because there's no use having a service opportunity or business opportunity or product opportunity if it isn't what people want and they can't afford it. Doesn't matter how much they know, like, and trust you, they ain't going to buy it. And, you know, as I say to all entrepreneurs, we got to eat.
There it is. Well, gentlemen, do you have any thoughts, questions, ideas, suggestions for Dr. Vibe?
I like the influencer strategy, meaning that your first client might be an influencer at a Fortune 10 company, that if Fortune 10 people are your ideal prospect, then his ability to, or her ability to spread the word is a good strategy.
Well, thank you. And actually, I reached out to him and two or three other people in my community. And I said, this is the price that I want to launch this at. And they said, you're undervaluing your service. They said, we have people that will pay this for it. And I said, that's great. Will you expose me to them? And they said, yes.
Fantastic.
So I think that's a very important. Don't be afraid to ask people in your community for their feedback. Because good people in your community, I call them brand ambassadors. Those are people who can promote your brand, product, or service to markets and people you may never get a chance to reach out to.
I love it. Well, listen, I'm going to reach out. Can I get a discount?
Yes. But I don't think you need. I don't think you. You're already big up. You're way past my level. I got to catch up to you and say yes. I need you as part of this because the stuff that you're working on, you're gonna have people taking care of you. I'm sure you will. But if you don't, I'm here.
Right now, my shoes are bigger than my feet. How about that? That's what I'd say.
Well, you know, we all are part of a journey, and I think. There's a funny thing. There's a gentleman who I really respect named Marcus Lemonis, and he does a show on TV on MSNBC called The Prophet. And a few weeks ago, he gave his list of 10 key rules for business. And the first rule has nothing to do with, I guess, business. Well, it does. It has to do with personality. And he said the number one rule in business for him is don't be an ass.
That's probably the number one rule for sure.
Pretty sound advice.
Exactly.
But I know
go ahead.
I know a few successful asses.
True.
Oh, we all do.
But if they were not asses, could you imagine how really successful they'd be?
That's true. Good point.
You know, and like you don't want to burn bridges, right? Because it somehow gets back to haunting you.
The world's not as big as we think it is.
No, it isn't. No, it isn't at all. And, you know, so I just think today, especially for, I'm going to say specifically for black men, we need to have our own. One of my mentors told me a long time ago that if someone else is signing your paycheck, you're not free.
That is true. You want that direct pipeline from the consumer to you.
Yeah, it's very important. It's not easy, and doing business is not easy, but you know what? It's all about doing the work, really and truly, whether it's work on your business, work on relationships. It's all about that bad four-letter word, work. And a lot of times, work will cure a lot of challenges that we have in business.
That's true. The old expression is you got to work smart and not hard, though, right?
Exactly.
When you're just working and you're not working smart, you're not getting, as you said, Dr. Vibe, it's all about process. When you optimize your process so you maximize your time in that process, that's working smart. And you can get more smart work done that way.
Exactly. Actually, I'm going to throw out a challenge to everyone that's listening to this live or on the replay. I'm going to put a challenge out to everyone out there. Can you stretch yourself to create a new opportunity with someone you don't know?
Ooh, I like that. I like that. Well, I'm going to take on that challenge because you connected me with someone that I'm going to reach out to tomorrow that I do not know. And I know I wouldn't reach out to them if I didn't see them as a benefit to my journey. I'm going to do that. I'm accepting that challenge first thing tomorrow.
There you go. But I think a lot of times when people are not progressing in your business or even personally, you're just dealing with the familiar. And sometimes you got to deal with the unfamiliar. When people say, like, when we were growing up, most of our parents said, never talk to strangers. Correct?
Correct.
Correct.
Okay. Dr. T, before you and I met, what were we?
Strangers.
Thank you.
Strangers in the night? No, in the day. Yeah, we're strangers.
So sometimes you have to get out, and it's overused, that comfort zone, but make it a point over maybe the next day, 7 days, 30 days, reach out to someone that you haven't reached out to before for something that you're looking help for, but also make sure that you offer something in return, whether it's today, 2 days from now, 2 months from now, 2 years from now. You'll be surprised, because if you're not getting the results you want, you got to change some things up.
Well, I can Absolutely. Build on that, Dr. Vibe, because that's a great idea to go out and meet new people and engage new and different people, because even if you don't get new business, you should come away smarter, because once
yes.
you get outside of your zone and you talk to somebody in a different field or in a complementary field, they might tell you, well, you know, I do this thing this way. And you'll go, really? How's that working for
yep.
you? And say, well, it's working amazing. Here's my case study. And you say, wow, maybe I'll try that. So you get new tools and new skills and new perspectives that you could otherwise not get when you stay inside your little cocoon, you know, because it's comfortable. Because often,
yep.
you know, going to meet new and different people with different ideas can be challenging, because, you know, you're not in your comfort zone anymore. You know, you've got to be highly emotionally intelligent, right, to be able to go out and engage with new and different people. But, you know, in my experience, it's when I've done that, occasionally I've gotten business, but
yep.
always I've come away smarter. So it's about growth and expansion in that case for me a lot of times.
Another thing that I think is very important for business people, especially in the Black environment, know what you don't know.
Seek that information. You know, that's an excellent point, Dr. Vibe, because many people use that as an obstacle. I don't know, so I can't do. It's grounded in fear, doubt, lack of self-confidence, but you're right. How do you overcome that? This goes back to that work word that you mentioned. Work is seeking information, and information that you need is about things that you don't know, unsure, or uncertain about. I mean, that's a very key point that you just made, because I find many people, when I ask them about their ventures, they will talk about, well, I'm stuck here, I don't think it's going to happen. And they see that as a roadblock rather than a direction.
Well, I don't want to interrupt any more of your panel's time. I just thought I'd jump in and jump out quietly. But
well,
thank you so much.
You might want to say, I think we may have lost Gerald to a business meeting. And, you know, your voice is powerful and your ideas are strong. You might want to hang in here and keep sharing that wisdom with the listening audience and those listening on replay.
Okay, well, I'll go on for another few minutes. I know I have supposed to be on another call in a few minutes, and I got to definitely – go on for another five until the door knock happens on my studio here, because I'm supposed to be doing another call soon. But yeah, I just think that it's so important to always look for the next thing. You know,
mm-hmm.
always look for that next thing. Don't rest on your laurels. Always be looking, because if you're always working at that new thing, people are going to pay attention. They're going to say, hey, what is Dr. T up to now? Hey, what is Dr. Vibe up to now? Hey, what is Art up to now? You become someone they say, okay, they've got something going on. I got to pay attention to them. Very, very important. And when you have knowledge, we're in a knowledge sharing economy these days, especially with social media. So you got to look at what value can you bring to your audience? Or even better, what pain can you relieve them of?
So true. Good point. When you're preparing your presentation, one of our topics, well, our topic is proper presentation technique. So you're going to be getting people coming to you, no question about it. You've got a great reputation, you've got a great product, and you do you work. I mean, that's indisputable. In your presentation to them, what's the key selling element, clients, and how did you develop it?
Well, I'll be totally transparent. I did develop it because I didn't know how to completely do it, what I wanted to offer. I got mentoring and coaching. And again, it gets back to that. And using the example of the individual that we both know, Dr. T, he wanted to get his book more out there and more known. He doesn't have the time to do it on his own. So I shortcut the shortcut for him and say, we can just do it this way. Simple as that.
That's it. So that engagement and that need that he had, you saw opportunity.
So that's the thing. Find out what, you know, as another one of my mentors said, find the need and fill it. Don't find the need and kill it.
There you go. What does it say? What are you saying?
Find the need.
Mother of invention.
Yeah, find the need and fill it. Don't find the need and kill it. And even if you can't resolve their pain, if you can direct them to someone who can resolve or reduce their pain, they will always come back to you because you were the solution for their problem. It started with you.
Excellent point. Excellent point. Well, Dr. Vibe, I know you have to go, and I thank you for jumping on and because it was so fitting given our topic today. But I wish you the best, man, and keep I know you're going to stay in touch, but I definitely would like to know about your successes because I know it's going to be a great venture for you.
Well, thank you so much, Art. Pleasure meeting you. I hope that Dr. T shares your contact information with me so we can work together some way or collaborate together and help each other out any way we can.
And sounds good, Dr. Vibe.
And before you go, how people who are interested in your service, how do they get in touch with you?
The best way right now is probably just go to my Twitter handle, which is at drvibeshow, or they can email me drvibe@thedrvibeshow.com. I'm just launching the site. And here's another thing. I'm launching the site this week, and I already had a client before I launched, so I feel blessed. But the site will be up this week, and maybe Dr. Chu will let me back on next week or another broadcast, and I can get a little bit more elaborate. And another thing that's key, I just want to include, too, testimonials. Very, very important.
Good point. You have said that to me several times. Yes, I have found that to be a very good tool. Excellent.
Gentlemen,
well, Dr. Vibe, we'll have you back, and thank you, my friend.
Take care. God bless.
Good guy, man. It's, you know, Art, I was glad that he joined because it's so fitting. You know, he's excited about this new venture, and it's interesting how it came about. It wasn't like he sat down and said, oh, I'm thinking about this. Someone called and said, can you do this? I need this. And together, they conceived an idea to help one individual that has now grown into a new business venture.
And that for me is the consummate modern day way we should be creating ideas because that's collaborating with someone to co-create a solution that there's already a market for because the person collaborating with you to build it needs it. I mean, that's if we take advantage of that every time we come up with a new product or service, it's hard to go wrong because you're collaborating with somebody from the audience that is just like everybody else that you want to serve. They are representative of the group of people that you want to serve. And when you sit down across the table with them and say, look, I know I can help people that are struggling with the thing you're struggling with, the business or things in life, whatever it is. I know I can help. Why? Because I bring these skills forward and you tell your founding story, why I started this business, but I started it to serve people like you or businesses like yours. And I've invited you here today to meet with me because I'm a smart guy and I know I want to help, but I need your help so I can help me help you. So let's collaborate on this product of mine. to assure that it satisfies every possible need that you can, that we can fit this thing to do. And I don't want to cure cancer with this product, but I want to solve as much the problem that I think I can that you have. So will you help me? And, you know, that's a joint application development. That's kind of the, it's in technology world, it's called a JAD, where you sit with the customer and the CEO says, you know, we need that $1 million worth of stuff. And you say, well, that's great, but you know what? I need your approval to go talk to the people that currently use the process that's in place. So I could find out how they'll use the new process and we can collaborate with them to get their input. And what happens when you get the employee's input, even though the CEO's already said, I'll buy it, you get the employee's input. When you deliver that $1 million of software, they embrace it like a baby and nurse it and nurture it because they feel like they're part of the solution. That's jointly building the application that's helping me help you help me. It's a collaboration, and it's hard to go wrong when you do that. And
it really
anybody
is.
That's building a product that – I'm sorry, Dr. T, what you say?
No. I said you're absolutely right. It is important. But go ahead. You were saying anybody building a product like that?
No, anybody building a product or conceiving a service that's going to do it in their cocoon and think that they have all the answers. Even if they are that same – if they are the – if I'm a man of a certain age and a certain income bracket with certain experiences, maybe my profile is just like everybody in the market that I want to serve. And I can say, well, I'm just like everybody in the market that I want to serve. They're just like me. I'm going to go find people just like me, and that's who I'm going to serve. And I build this solution or service. And then I take it to the market, and they say, well, this is great, but it'd be nice if you could do this other thing. Had I gone out and sat down with them, a couple of them, I don't need to sit down with all of them, to validate that you guys are just like me, and I built this thing. What do you think? They say, that's great, but it'd be nice if you could do these other things. And then you find out that everybody you meet wants this other thing. You're building a better product. Why? Because you did the work to go out and engage, to collaborate with the people you want to serve, to co-create the solution that solves their problem. They're still going to buy it from you.
Mm-hmm.
But they're part of the solution. They helped build it. So why wouldn't they want to promote it? They're part of it, right? And so it's like the influencer that Dr. Vibe says, you know, is a Fortune 10 executive. That influencer is going to spread the word to other influencers. He's part of the solution because he worked with Dr. Vive to get it to be the kind of solution that he would embrace. Now he can go say to all of his colleagues, you should embrace this thing. It's badass. You'll want some of this. If he hadn't been part of the solution, he had just seen it on the website, you know, without a good referral, without an influencer pushing it a little bit, it'd just be more words, right? So when you're just starting out, the best way to get that burst of speed, like that you're in the blocks and at the 100-yard dash, when the gun goes off, you want to get ahead of the pack, all the competitors. You want to burst out there so you get to the finish line sooner. To get that push, to get to the front of the pack, collaborate and co-create with some of the people representative of the ideal prospect that you want to serve, and they'll help you get that fast start because they'll be part of the solution. And they'll be so excited about having helped you build this thing that helps them and other people just like them, that on their social media and at networking events, when they encounter somebody that needs it, they'll know exactly how the product you built serves that other person that they've met. They'll promote it for you.
Well, I know you mentioned something earlier about knowing your client. And to me, in my consulting work, the consultants who work with me, one of the things I always, it's actually part of my process, the thing that Dr. Vibe talked about, is that every one of the consultants who works with me must know our clients better, know their needs better than they do, and be able to show them. And every time, the most successful consultant that worked with me have done a masterful job of that. And those who had gaps always struggled. And it is always, I think, So whether you're consulting or any other business, if you're offering a service or a product to someone related to their business or their need, you have to know their need. To me, I found that, and sometimes you have to prove to them that they need it. Evidence to me is the most powerful thing, and depending on your market, that evidence takes on different looks. But I know in my field, that evidence has always been the best presentation model ever. Rather than here's a service, it could help you. You could use it this way, because now you've got a discussion, and I always wanted to avoid that discussion, but to say, here's your issues, here's how long it's been going on, here's how we think it's happening to you, and here's the process by which we could help you. You need that.
Well, you know, I come from a sales background from a long, long time ago, selling the Fortune 100 companies, right, and managing teams that did that kind of work. And it became very apparent early that objection handling early in any salesperson's career is one of the first skills that they're trained, and it's kind of old school. You know, you go in and say, I've got pencil sharpeners. Want one? I say, no, I use pens all the time. And the objection handling might say, well, when you do use a pencil, you'll need to sharpen it, right? Right? You're trying to sell something that guy doesn't need or that woman doesn't need. And so when you do the work, is we've been talking about it, this four-letter word keeps popping up because it's so important. When you have an inquiring mind, right, and you're built that way, you know the importance of evidence, as you were saying, Dr. T. And the evidence is that when I'm a pencil sharpener salesperson, I don't want to talk with people with pens. I want to talk to people with pencils. And people with pencils might be designers. They might be artists, right? And so I talk to designers and I talk to artists. And I talk to certain artists that are using charcoal pens because my pencil sharpener works with charcoal pens. It will work with any number two pencil that a student uses as well. And when I talk to students, I talk to teachers that are administering the SAT so a pencil can be sharp. There's a pencil sharpener on every desk because the teacher wants the students to perform well when they're filling out those little buttons on those SATs. So if you do the work to know who your product serves, and then you're focused enough to only talk to them, then objection handling becomes less of a game. It becomes less of a tennis match because you're talking to somebody, you know they use pencils. You know the pencils because the soft lead and the graphic designer's pencils always requires sharpening. And the buttons on the SAT that you got to fill in with that number two pencil, you know, you don't want to smudge so it looks like you filled in the wrong radio button. You want it always to be in the right button because you need every point on that score.
Mm-hmm.
So doing the work, right, this work happens long before you engage your first customer, right? So you don't have to go out and talk to people with pens and get rejected and use this objection handling skill. But when you do get a pencil, you'll need it sharpened, right? Get out of my office. I told you I use pens. We don't use pencils here.
You're calling on the wrong person.
Yeah, you're calling on the wrong person. And that's true whether you're selling consulting services, whether you're selling jet engines. You know, you got to know who has the highest propensity, the highest level of pain that your solution solves. And that requires you to do the work. And you can't build a product and then just rush out there selling it without ever talking to the people that you're going to go knocking on their door. Knock on that door while you're building the product. Say, look, you know, I'm brilliant. I've got a great team. I'm building this thing that I think serves businesses like yours. Can we sit down and talk about it? Until you find somebody that will do that will give you their candid and honest opinion of your product, you're not asking them to buy it. You're asking them to assess it. You're asking them to point out the key performance indicators that your product sounds like it solves. And the ones it doesn't, make sure that you are getting number one, two, and three on the stack rank solved. Because if your product's a great product and it solves number seven, eight, nine, kind of like, well, you know, I worry about those, but number one, two, and three is really what keeps me up at night. I pay 10 times as much as Bob Rhodes. Right? So that's business as a game. And if you gamify it, right, and you say, look, I really like to go sell this. I got to get some revenue in my company. But I want my salespeople to go and talk to the right people. And when they talk to them, I want them to use the right words and sell to the right challenges and present the right ways my product brings them opportunities. Then I'm going to take 90 days. I'm going to interview some people out there in the marketplace and let them push back on my product a little bit. I'm going to tweak my product a little bit. So when I bring it out, my product or service, it's going to be time tested by some of the people that my salespeople will sell to. And they'll be trained to go to just the people that have the greatest propensity to buy. And they'll present the product as solving just the problems that keep them awake at night. And success rates should go up. As a product that will have to make fewer calls to get more sales. I'm not saying you're going to get a 90% sales rate, but you're going to do better than 3 and 4% that most salespeople struggle with. And if you can get your sales success rate up to 15, 20%, that's pretty good. So that's and you know what's interesting, Dr. T, is I'm reading a book, and if bear with me for 1 second, I just want to tell you what I came on. I'm early in the book. It's on page two, but I think it's interesting here. It's a quote from Plato. Plato believed that the sources of philosophy are wonder and discovery. And he said that wonder and discovery are two of the most valuable things that humans can have. And when we talk about evidence, we talk about you got to discover what the proof is. It's like math, right? If you're selling a product and you've got one product and you got one problem, you get two success. If you got one product and you got zero problems in that customer you're calling on that your product solves, that's the bad math, right? One plus zero is one. That's not good. But when you do the work in advance, and you have that sense of wonder, you want to go out and ask them and talk to them and engage them and bring them into the process to collaborate with you to co-create the optimal solution, put yourself in a better position to win. And on the next page, it talks about a guy I've got to do some research on. It's a polymath, Samuel Johnson. I don't know if you've ever heard of that guy. But
Samuel Johnson.
Samuel Johnson, who is a polymath, which I guess means he's a mathematician. I mean, they're quoting Socrates and Plato and Bill Moyers, the journalist. And it gets to Samuel Johnson, the polymath, who said, curiosity is, among great and generous minds, the first passion and the last. In other words, curiosity should be the first thing you think about and the last thing about. Always be curious. Always be curious. And, you know, that's like Dr. Vibe was saying, think about who you can go out and meet this week that you don't know today. Curiosity.
I like that. It was a very insightful challenge, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was a good one. That was a good one. Keep the door open to letting somebody outside of you teach you something. And they might teach you where some new business opportunities are, or they might teach you some new process that you're unaware of to help you be more efficient. You'll learn something if you pick the right person.
If you pick the right person. What was interesting, it made me think, because, you know, we talk a lot about networking. And when I was reflect on my career and the network that I do have now, I found it one that I created because I actually sought the people out and actually built my own network. And this is, you know, I'm 54 years old, so this is before the networking venues were available. Right now they're all over the place. But my network was literally created out of desire, need, and discovery. And need was because sometimes I screwed up. I'm like, I got to have somebody help me with this problem. And, you know, that approach, you know, for friendships and relationships that carry on even to this day, but it's a lot different now. You know, you've got to pick and choose and be careful about what networks you connect with. And I can tell you, I have found networking in the 21st century to be almost fashionable, more so. And I love your feedback on this. I haven't seen it be as productive as the model I just presented, because it isn't self-directed. It's more opportunistic.
Well,
do I have a shaded view of this?
You and I both do.
Because I
look at it this way. I mean, it's when I go to whoever prints my business cards up and I say, look, I need another 500 business cards. I've got a lot of networking this month. And I go to 3 chamber meetings and I go to a couple of meetups and I'm going all over the place. I might do 7 events in 1 month. I'm out there. If I'm doing that, I'm not working on my business. I can call all that network working on my business, but if I'm not going to networking events that are full of my ideal prospects, I'm just going to chamber meetings and there might be 1 or 2 there. And I might not get a chance to speak to them that night because they're busy doing something else. And why am I spending an hour to get there, an hour to get home, and 90 minutes filling my plate with, you know, celery and my glass with whatever, and handing business cards out? So the theory is go out of your office when you're not talking to customers and you're not in your office and you're going to go network. Be discriminating. Be curious about the networking event you're going to go to. Who's going to be there? Do some research. And if your research assesses that, well, there might be my ideal prospect, might be there. This other group looks like it's a better opportunity to meet my ideal prospect. There might be more than there. I'm going to go do this one. So you start winnowing out the places that you might network where your ideal prospect isn't going to be there. You don't go there. That's the same scenario. Networking is like sales calls. Every networking event is like a sales call. If I'm making sales, that's like the analogy. I'm making sales calls I sell pencil sharpeners. I'm making sales calls on people that only use pens. What's the point? I should be making sales calls on people that use pencils, and not only using pencils, but people that use pencils intensely, artists and graphic designers. I've now defined my ideal prospect. Right? Now I got to find out where they meet offline and where they meet online. And I go to the blogs that they read and I comment on those blogs. I go to the networking events they go to and I meet them. I could give a rat's ass about the people that go to Penn networking groups. Right.
Right.
If I use that same theory and I overlay it on networking, then I say, okay, I sell pencil sharpeners. Let's see. These networking events, are going to be artists or graphic designers are going to be there? No, they're all insurance people. Yeah, insurance people use pens. They use pencils too. What's the probability that I'm going to sell 100 pencil sharpeners to the insurance guys? I better go find a networking event that has those designers and those artists that I'm confident that I have a solution for. I start putting X's through the events that I used to go to hand out business cards. I mean, this brings to mind an event that I went to several years ago. I met 2 very nice women from New Jersey. I'm from New Jersey. I was in Arizona. And so we hit it off. We talked. And I actually called them afterward following up. And I said to them, so you've been going to that breakfast meeting for how long? Oh, about 2 years. Have you gotten any business? No. Why do you keep going? Well, everybody goes. I said, well, thank you very much. I'll see you at the next one. I never went back. Right, because it was more social event than it was, and these were very nice women with a very interesting business, but they weren't getting business from it. Right, so they were at the wrong event. It's like I dating in my earlier years, I dated a woman that really wasn't interested in me for anything other than walking with her to events.
Were you security?
I was a handsome young guy that would go to events and it was interesting. It was the first time I'd experienced a feminist that said, look, I just need a handsome young guy to go with me to these events, you know.
Yeah, she didn't want to get hit on by everybody. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, it made sense to me. But the point is, if I had amorous intentions, it wasn't there, right? And if we think of sales calls and networking events like dating, choose your shots wisely, right? Otherwise, you're just blowing smoke up in the air. And I know we just struck 5 p.m. here in Arizona. I know that's 8 p.m. where you are, and I know you've got a ton of things to do. So
I do, and we are actually about a minute and a half left, but this has been a good show. And you gave some good analogies, and I find that when I can get those analogies and metaphors and apply them to what I'm doing, it makes things pop for me sometimes. So it was some good stuff.
Yeah.
I like the dating thing.
Yeah, we
security
can relate to that
escort.
One.
You're the security escort. So that's, you know, when you go back, what jobs have you had? Well, I had an unpaid job as a security escort.
I got to go to some really interesting events, but that
you
be
did.
Kind of that. Yeah.
Well, brother, thank you again for another good show. I know Gerald had to pop out because he had a business meeting, but we will be back in 2 weeks with another topic and encourage you all to call in, bring your business ideas, problems, and bring them to the table, because we will always have experts here to give you some sound advice. And Art, I won't talk to you, I don't think, for another week or so. I'll be buried in this project that I have going on for the next week. But I wish you a good weekend. And I hope you stay safe till our next venture.
Fantastic. Thank you, Dr. T, for having me on again. Anybody wants to reach out to me on Twitter, I'm at Art Jones. And you can find me on Facebook at Art Jones and LinkedIn at Art Jones / Tucson. So hopefully we shared some value with your audience. And I look forward to doing it again in 2 weeks.
Yes, sir. Well, brother, you take care. And everybody, join us tomorrow morning for our It Ain't That Early morning show with Myla G and myself. We will be, guys, the hottest topic in America today, Art, you know, right now, is Colin Kaepernick. And I know many people, and I said this a year ago. I said that when the season started, people think this is going to die down. They're wrong. And I gave multiple reasons why, and they have all proven to be right. What I didn't expect, I don't think anybody, well, some people could have. I did not expect our president to call black athletes and their mothers, because that's who he attacked, the athletes themselves and their mothers, SOBs.
Yeah.
And
crazy.
It's out of the world. And by all appearances, the league seems to be bonding. But are they bonding around Colin Kaepernick, which they hadn't before? The owners have never spoken out. Are they bonding, as Shannon Sharp pointed out, because they were now bullied by the bully? So we'll be talking about.
Here's a good one for your show. It's a Newsweek cover. Have you seen that?
I have not.
There's a Newsweek cover that has Seth Curry in the front, Roger Goodell locked arms with him, LeBron James locked arms with Seth, and Colin Kaepernick's not on the page. And this is all Photoshopped together, right? So none of these people ever got together. The Newsweek put them on the page, and the commentary was, where's Kaepernick? Because if it's about taking a knee, so you just Google Newsweek, Seth Curry, Roger Goodell. I bet that pops up. You'll see that cover. That would be a good point of conversation for your show in the morning. And I'll be listening, brother, because it is an important topic. This nation is a great nation, and we need to come together and not belittle each other and bemoan folks arguing for and passively and peacefully commenting on the injustices that are large in our great country.
It is indeed, and you will find that link. I'm going to be posting it here shortly at the Dr. T Educates page, and Art, if you're up and around and you want to call in and comment, join the discussion, feel free to, brother, because it's a very relaxed show. I'm drinking coffee. We just take the news of the day and we just run with it. But I'm going to spend a good portion of time just going over. I've got tons of clips. And at some point, this thing, the cover you just described, I think is indicative of why this thing is going on, because the issue has never been the issue since he knelt.
Yeah, it's the issue has been, America doesn't want to talk about the issue. America wants to wrap it in the flag, and it's not about that. And that's where I think your conversation will certainly be a compelling one, and hopefully an episode that's well listened to, because more people need to get a perspective on how to think about why America is caught in this conversation and how to appropriately think about what it's about. I'll grab that link for you, and I'll send it to you through Facebook message, so you'll have it.
Yeah, please do.
So you can review it. Will do. Listen, thanks again for having me on, Dr. T. Always good.
All right, brother. Take care of yourself.
Will do. Bye.
All right. We will be going live 8 o'clock tomorrow, as you heard, as I was sharing with Art. We'll be discussing Colin Kaepernick, the flag, the NFL. Folks, at some point, and I can tell you, the conversation, if you haven't been paying attention, I don't care what race you are, I don't care what political party you follow. If you can't get to the point where we're addressing one thing at a time, which is the main thing, we're never going to get anywhere. Personalities are starting to take over the issue. And maybe that's just by design. Maybe the people who are out here railing against it, throwing red herrings out like flags, challenging veterans, and he's challenging respected veterans, I call bullshit on that. My father was a veteran, buried in Arlington National Cemetery, male, highly decorated Marine, 32-year Marine, who would not, I can tell you, without question, any doubt, I don't have to raise the dead to have this conversation, because we had it. We had it. Black men in the military were not treated equally. Don't make a mistake about that. And for all the people talking about veterans, I need you to understand, do you know that the pay for the veterans that we so proudly stand behind and encourage and hold up in high esteem, we're not backing them, nothing but words. I'll talk more about that tomorrow. I'll give you some evidence that'll make you question the sincerity using the veterans as a cover. As a cover. Tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock. See you then.
You've been in the bullpen with Dr. T. Follow Dr. T on Twitter and Facebook at Dr. T Educate. And on the web, visit www.drteducate.com. Join us every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern in the bullpen with Dr. T. Become empowered. Get involved.